tonight's learning for it will be for the protection of all the chayalim, for the refuah shlema. This is a month of healing, refuah shlema of any chayalim, for Hashem to send blessing and peace into our personal lives, into the lives of all of Am Yisrael, and b'ezrat Hashem. So tonight, just an hour, we're going to all stop, we're going to listen to the siren. First question is, where does that come from? Where do we get this idea of stopping for a moment and listening to a siren? Where does that really start? What do you guys think?
Something with the shofar.
Oh, very good. So I'll tell you the historical answer, and then I'll tell you the deeper answer. So on a historical level, the truth is that the siren was not invented by the Jewish people, as far as we know. I think it came from France. And it is something that other non-Jewish nations do, and that's part of the reason why the Israeli nation, 1951, chose to make Yom HaZikaron the day when we stop and are silent for the siren. That is true. As a moment of silence. Yeah? Uh-huh. But, of course, like everything in life, it must have came from somewhere. So there's a theory out there that you guys are putting forward. Oh, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Isaac.
Hello,
man.
How you doing?
So we're learning just a little bit about the siren before.
Since you got married,
we're learning about the siren a little bit. So that moment sounds will be ready. So we're saying that yeah, it comes from a non-Jewish, and that is why in certain sectors they feel like, what's this whole siren business? And they don't stop what they're doing. They keep learning or keep walking. Because it's a non-Jewish thing. We took it from them. We're just trying to copy the nation, if they feel like. And what does it have to do with Jewish tradition? But as you guys are the children of prophets, you know that really it must be rooted to the Jewish people. And I believe that it's really connected to the concept of shofar, like you mentioned. So if you look in source Hey, Vayikra Yud, Parsh Gimel, Taber el bnei Yisrael, chaf gimel, chaf dalid. Emor b'chodesh ha-shvi'i b'echad ha-chodesh. In the seventh month, on the first day, yelachem shabbaton. Stop, Shabbos, zikaron trua. A remembrance, yom zikaron, of a trua. Of a blast. Nikar kodesh. So on Rosh Hashanah, the Torah doesn't talk about judgment day. It doesn't talk about any of that stuff. The only thing it says is the day of remembering the blast. Why do we need to remember the blast? That's a question. What does that have to do with Judgment Day? But we know that we have this concept on the day that the world was created, according to our tradition, to stop and to remember, and we remember through the blast, through the shofar. Pretty cool. Now, where else do we see this concept of shofar besides for Rosh Hashanah? Where else
in our Jericho?
Jericho, awesome, right? So shofar was also when we're in war, connected with war and conquering the things that are holding us back.
What are you doing? You started without
cheering. Chas v'shom. So it dafka happened. We came into Israel through the shofar. And then the walls collapsed. And maybe there's something about a shofar that can help us, like our own, whatever's blocking us, whatever's holding us back, somehow in that silence, it like we pushed through. I remember when I was in the army, so I had a buddy, Ezri, and he was a little overweight. So I used to like push him in the first couple of hikes. And anyway, eventually, he was a warrior. He ended up staying in the army for like 6 years and like losing like tons of weight. And he stayed much longer than all of us. It was amazing. But in the beginning, he had a hard time with the physical stuff. So there's something that we have to jump over a certain wall in order to go to Kav, to go to fight. And everyone had finished, and he wouldn't cheat, and he couldn't get over it. So for like weeks, he was trying to get over it. So we came up with this plan, that we were all gonna run around the wall 7 times, blow the shofar, it would collapse down, and he'd go through. But we didn't actually do it. He just jumped over it eventually. And he's the best. All right, so that's what blowing down our wall is connecting to our Israel. Okay, where else do we see shofar in Torah? What else
before our Rosh Hashanah, when we say a line like Tikka B'chodah, Tikku.
Tikka B'chodah Shofar.
Where's that come from?
It's Tehillim, David HaMelech, and for some reason, the seventh month is associated with.
Wasn't there?
Tikka B'chodah Shofar.
What's the meaning of that?
There's
also the trumpets in the
Beis HaMikdash. There's also shofars associated with that, absolutely. Where else? Nachon. So there could be a festive aspect to shofar. Where else? So one before we go to war, we also used to blow trumpets, which also obviously is associated with Yom HaZikaron. But the time that for me is like the most strong, a lot of people forget about, but it is really where it all started. It all started, this whole idea of shofar. Also, Drew, you're going back even further. Nachon, so we'll get to the inside. First of all, Katie, yes, God. Right?
The first concept of using a horn.
Right? And amazingly enough, when what is the shofar associated with in that context? Katie Yitzchak, what else do we associate with the concept of Yitzchak and what he did? Gvura, willingness to sacrifice for the Jewish people, willingness to live and to die for the sake of being a Jew. So the first time we encounter shofar is this willingness to die for the sake of Jewish people. Pretty amazing. And of course, again, I mentioned at Har Sinai, when we first met God, when we received the Torah, it was they blew the shofar, and the shofar is blowing, and then we met God. Yeah.
I don't want to go too into it, but can you explain the dying for the Jewish people part for Yitzchak?
Just the fact that Yitzchak was willing to die because his father said you have to be sacrificed here, and he was willingly walked up and was willing to be Moser Nefesh. So the Hasidic Sfarim say that Jewish people, where do they draw the strength to die for the, where did even a simple Jew, maybe he's not so religious, get this idea that he can, he's willing to sacrifice his life for God? You get it from the Yitzchak, the Pintle Yitzchak inside of him.
Gotcha.
Pintle Yitzchak. So that's Mamish, we could go into this all day, but at least we should taste also Yovel, by the way. When a man goes free, in the 50th year we blow on the shofar and a person goes free. So again, freedom comes with the shofar. So all of these are associated with the shofar. And all of these are things that a person can think about when the siren's going off, about the Mesiras Nefesh, about a time to meet God, about a time to remember, a time of contemplation. And, I guess pick the one that you most connect to. But I believe that this, it's not a coincidence that we picked this. This is very strongly part of our Jewish identity, this idea of stopping and being silent and contemplating for a moment. Not just a goyish idea. Okay? That's our regular chat. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Beyond that, I think there's a few other simple ideas about why it's important to stop. First of all, there's a simple concept. This is what the community is doing. Hill Omer Alti Freshman Tibor. And if we see that our holy community is stopping to honor those who gave their lives for them, and like whether you're into it or not, why would you if it's a good thing that the community is doing, we should take part in that.
I don't mean to challenge it, but like, and I know this subject was brought up before. What's your take on this idea that we're using like a non-Jewish concept?
Oh, very good. Not first of all, totally challenge it. not meant to be like.
No, I'm saying, yeah.
Challenge everything I say, please, everyone. Excellent.
Not so much into being politically correct, but.
No, totally. It's a great point. So what I'm trying to first show is that I think it is a Jewish value. I think this idea of the siren is rooted in the idea of shofar, and shofar is very connected to the siren. Wow. Secondly, okay, but still it may have come from a
moment of silence.
Yeah, exactly. And like we said, in France, this concept. So if you look in the fourth source in the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Kara and the Roma talk exactly about that. They say, we don't go in the laws of the non-Jews. And we don't try to be like them at all. We don't try to wear their special clothing. Right? Like in Qatar, they all wear white. I don't know, and they're shook. Everyone's dressed in white. And I was going to Tzfat the next Shabbos. So I was thinking I'll buy their thing. But then I was like, I don't know. It didn't seem right.
and the kippah, I never thought I was Muslim. They say Salam Aleichem. I was like, Aleichem Shulam. Like, what? Anyways. Don't wear these funny haircuts like the non-Jews. So there is a concept. You're not supposed to do things in order to copy the non-Jews. There's an Isser called trying to be like them. Okay? So, wait a second. Does that mean that I can never do anything that non-Jews do? Anything that a non-Jew does, I can't do it because it's not a Jewish custom. First of all, if that were to be true, like, we couldn't have computers, couldn't have tablecloth, they have tablecloths, we couldn't have suits, couldn't have ties, couldn't have, everything. Okay, some things were invented by Jews, but like, you know, there are a lot of things in the world which were not only invented by Jews. But, so, it's what does that mean that we can't do anything about them? So explains the Rama Hagah. Elayu moved on them and Mabushab Bashar Masav. Be separate from them. You should be distinct. But that's only if they're doing it for the sake of sexual immorality. Then it's a problem. In those days, they would wear these crazy red dresses to be really sexy. And it's meant to stick out and be like super sexually problematic. There's this stupid thing that everyone's doing and there's no reason to do it, and then maybe it could be problematic. If it's associated with idolatry in some type of way. But something that has toelis, that has a practical purpose. Like, let's say you're a doctor, you wear doctor clothing. You're a judge, you wear doctor clothing. Then it makes sense. You're wearing it as an identity to say, I'm a policeman. If there's logic to wearing it, then it's okay to wear it. Yeah? If it's for kavod or any other reason, mutar, no problem. Okay? So the Rama makes it very clear that it's only when something is for sexual or idolatrous or silly, then we could maybe run into this problem. But if there's a reason behind it, there's a rationale for it, then it's fine. At least according to the Rama. It's true that there isn't a more stringent opinion of the Vilna Gaon, of the Gra, but in general, we do not
What's his?
He was choshesh that not anything, but there are many. He put many more things in the category of chukotayim lo telecha. For example, the Gra didn't let you put green in your shul on Shavuos. There's a custom to put green in the shul, put like flowers
and stuff
like that. The Gra said, we don't do that here. Why not? Christmas tree. He said, the goyim do Christmas trees. We can't do it. Because we took it from them.
So you couldn't put flowers, or you couldn't put green at all? You just left it out?
He didn't support bringing it to shul. So the Gra had certain stringencies, but we don't generally go like that. Stringency, it would be very, very hard to live and function. Okay, so that's why I don't think the argument that stopping for a siren has any problem with it, because it makes a lot of sense to stop and take a moment to be appreciative and thankful for all these people who died for us.
That's like the conundrum. On one end, you have that. Take a moment of silence to think, and just a moment to think about, you know, how many 24,000 people have lost their lives for this. And then the other time is like this concept of a moment of silence that's so prevalent in the world when something happens. That's like, it could be they got it from us. I don't know. It doesn't make a difference, but. It feels gayish to you. Right.
Okay.
It feels like but at the same time, it should be done. There's no reason why it shouldn't be done. Oh. I think, what else would we do?
Right.
Stop and say Shema.
So,
this is like one of the few things in like the entire country, and that's 98% of the country does.
Right. And if you really want to stop during that silence and say Shema to yourself, truthfully, I can't hold myself back. I'll usually say it to him.
Right.
Talk to God.
I'm saying, even those people that don't stand the siren during that moment, they're forced to recognize something.
I hope. Right.
I'm saying, wherever you're standing, someone else is standing.
They recognize that they're not standing at least.
Which means that they're still also thinking about, about what's going on right now.
It's an amazing thing. I think it's an amazing thing. But, Jerry, you did it again. You led me perfectly into my final point on this issue, because I want to finish up because I know Omri has to head out. So, Ritzu Udrakuk, as I mentioned, says, standing at the siren is a holy mitzvah, honoring the Kedoshim. And those who follow in the tradition of Cook, of course, say that it's a mitzvah, and we should do it. It's the least we could do to honor.
Where does he say that?
In the source sheet. Where does, I'm not sure when.
Okay.
Where the context was. I got it from the Pliny Alecha. He quotes it. But...
So what's he basing it on?
He's basing it on everything we've been saying.
Say it's a mitzvah from being covered a mess. I mean,
yeah, exactly. To honor the Kedoshim, to honor those who died for us, to show respect.
We say that about the Holocaust. We say that about every single tragedy in Israel.
And Nachon, I mean, right. Nachon, we have to figure out when do we do it every single day. Right. You know? But like the Gemara says, if we're not prophets, we're the sons of prophets. So this is a minhag that the Jewish people have taken upon themselves on this day specifically to stop and reflect and be appreciative. And there's something to that. But on the topic of silence, because you brought me to that, where do we get this idea of silence? It seems so gaif of silence. So the last source I thought of was the story that we just had. Actually, this week's parsha. This week's parsha starts at Achreid Mot. When the children of Aaron died. This week's parsha, Hashkacha Pratis. So if you look at that story, it's a very, very powerful moment. One of the most powerful moments in the whole Torah, in my opinion. Whenever I read this, I like almost choke up. So the story is like this. In Perek Yod of Vayikra. Vayikhu b'nei Aaron, Nadav ve'aviyu, ish machtato, and Nadav and Aviyu take their pans. Vayinu b'en ish, v'yasim aleak Torah, v'yakriv v'nei Hashem, ish zara she'lo tibatam, and they bring a foreign fire which God did not command them. Why did they do that? What was their motivation? A shear for another time. But they decided in this moment of happiness when the Jewish people were celebrating God's presence, they wanted to bring their own fire. Mm-hmm. And fire goes out and it killed them. After they died, Moshe says to Aaron, that's what God told me. With those who are close to me, I will be sanctified. While pnei kol ha'am echabed, and before the whole nation, I will be honored. What's Aaron's reaction to his two children dying? Vayidom Aaron, and Aaron is silent. He doesn't say anything.
The word vayidom is actually silent.
Silence.
Or calm.
Calmed.
Meaning brought to a level of a form of peace. Let's call it.
Perhaps tranquil, yeah.
Tranquil, yeah.
So it's hard for me to imagine that he was tranquil at that moment.
That's why the pasuk is saying that. That's fetish.
Maybe. I haven't heard Yidom in that context. Perhaps
cold
for
mama.
Me.
What's the word?
I think dumb, or I believe it. Dalet mem is related to silence. But I'm not, you know, I should look into it more and try to figure out other. I will not be silent. But in any case, just that moment hits me as like that's Yom Hazikaron. Like, we don't have any words, we don't have any explanations. I'm not going to try starting explaining why people have to die, and that's not our realm. That's God's realm, right? But we can stop and be silent and just honor them. By taking a moment of reflection and prayer, that we won't have to have a Yom HaZikaron soon. But in the meantime, I think it is important to take that moment of appreciation. And really, Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzibut are both days of appreciation. In my book, it's just different ways we show our expression, our appreciation. And it's mamish like in this week's parsha, the Metzora. You have one bird that goes free, one bird that dies, but the bird that goes free, he's dipped in the blood of the bird that dies. Meaning to say that we the Jewish people are going free only in the schus of those who died so that we could be here. So those are some thoughts about the siren. And